You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Ken Lum grew up in East Vancouver in the working-class immigrant neighborhood of the Strathcona and Kingsway corridor. Today, he's an internationally renowned artist, but his roots provide much context for his work. Identity, multiculturalism, and the boundaries between art and non-art are just some of the themes he explores. A collection of his work currently is on display at the Vancouver Art Gallery, and joining me in the studio to talk about the exhibit is the curator of the exhibit, Grant Arnold. Welcome, Grant.
Thank you.
If you were speaking to somebody who had not heard the name Ken Lum, and you wanted to just give them context for appreciating what it was about before they went into the museum, what sort of things would you say?
Well, I guess the first thing I might say is that he works in a variety of media. So he represents a kind of mode of art making that's become much more common over the last few decades, where artists work with a variety of different media, and they make work that sometimes looks very different than other bodies of work that they've produced. So his work encompasses, you know, painting, photography, sculpture, those sorts of things. But what ties them together are a kind of interest in the everyday and how the larger forces at work in a culture shape our individual lives in different ways, in ways that can be recognized in our everyday sort of behavior.
Is this, I mentioned this line between art and non-art, is that sort of a dynamic of exploration that really characterizes most of his work?
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of his work will be recognizable or will have points of entry into the work that for people who may not know much about contemporary art. So I guess the examples of those would be the way he refers to signage. He's made a number of works that look like either painted signs or the kind of signs you find in front of a sort of small-scale business where there would be a kind of movable type which might advertise the daily specials or that sort of thing. So there's quite a bit of his work that if you took it out of the gallery and installed it somewhere on the Kingsway, it wouldn't look out of place. It is very consciously art because it's situated in the art museum, but it does have connections with forms that are very recognizable to everybody, really.
I did go and see the exhibit, and one of the things that struck me were the advertisements for different small stores, let's say, in the old style. Mm-hmm. And one was of a tour operator for travel to Vietnam, and it gave all the usual kind of information. And all of a sudden you get to the bottom as you're reading this, and it says something about Remember People's War, and you suddenly realize, well, this is not just a commercial thing. It's not only it's in the museum, but he's jarring you.
Yeah, definitely, and that's from a series of works called Shopkeeper Signs, which have the kind of standard sort of silkscreened image associated with the whatever the business is. But then there's a movable text, which really shifts the function of the sign by including very political statements or very personal statements. So in that case, it's for a firm called Hanoi Travel. That's a very interesting work because, I think it's accessible to just about anybody. You don't need someone to tell you kind of what's going on in it. But it ties into a whole lot of different issues, ranging from globalization, the development of a tourist trade that would go to a place like Hanoi or Vietnam. It actually has a reference to Disneyland also in the text. So there's this whole idea of the way the world is being Disney-fied that you find on all sorts of different levels. But also in that sign, it kind of touches on another central theme of Ken's work in that he's really interested in the tension between the instrumental logic that informs us every day. And by that, I mean there's the idea that just about everything we do has an intended purpose. And the idea of doing things just for themselves is kind of really effaced in our culture. The idea, again, that you know your whole life is divided up into sort of work and non-work. And so this is meant to address that tension between the idea that as individuals we're something maybe a bit more than or instrumental purpose of going to work and doing something. And in those signs, a commercial sign is supposed to have an instrumental function. It's supposed to draw somebody into the business. But in that series, there's something that subverts that instrumental notion and sort of suggests that there's something else going on here and that we are more than our everyday jobs or the instrumental aspects of our lives.
When you say the going to work, one of the first exhibits is this video of Ken Lum the highway from Surrey into the Vancouver area. Explain that and explain what he's trying to say in that.
Yeah, that's one of the earliest works in the exhibition. The exhibition covers his work from the late 70s up to the present, and that one's from 1978. It's called Entertainment for Surrey. And what he did was he stood on the verge of the main junction that connects the roads coming out of Surrey to the Trans-Canada Highway. So he stood on the verge just by the overpass every day for 4 days, and he stood there during the morning rush hour. And so it's a kind of very confusing thing to do, because although that's a public space, nobody ever occupies it. So there's this kind of somewhat confusion of the usual boundaries between public and private space. But also he wasn't doing anything. He would just stand there. And the commuters going in to work initially would just didn't know what to make of it. By the second or third day, people would start to wave at him or honk their horns, or some people called the police. So again, there's this kind of odd thing between people who are driving in sort of the private space of their cars, but it's in this kind of instrumental thing that they have to do, go to work every day. And a lot of them have to go to work in places where the housing is too expensive for them to live. So Ken also became a kind of sort of, we would say, doubly othered person, because he's a member of a visible minority, but he's also somebody who's not doing anything in particular. On the fifth day, he replaced himself with a kind of silhouetted image of himself. So as a narrative, there's a sense of, well, this person who was a person or individual becomes a sign. And hopefully that, I think his hope was that for that audience driving into the city, that might make them think about the way that your days are divided into work and non-work. It might make you think about the kind of idea of the way the city's laid out and connected, which is based on, you know, a very specific idea of use value, the idea that you transport goods and that sort of thing. So there is, a kind of blurring of the boundaries or drawing those boundaries to the viewer's attention. Again, those boundaries that mark out a kind of intersection between public and private space. And that's run all through his work ever since.
He uses mirrors a great deal, and there's one exhibit of a very large mirror installation. I went through it and I found it scared me and disoriented me, and it really made me kind of think about what he was communicating. Could you describe that maze?
Yeah, that's a mirror maze that's based on the kind of carnival or funhouse mirror mazes that I think were especially popular in the 60s and 70s but are still around. It's called Mirror Maze with 12 Signs of Depression because 12 of the mirrors have etched on them a text that's taken from a popular psychology test that's used to determine if you're depressed or not. And if you have 6 of these symptoms or more at any given time, you're depressed. And when you walk into it, you become very disoriented. You'll actually see many, many images of yourself. You can't tell if the space in front of you is open space or a mirror or a reflection or what. And part of the idea is that when you're in that kind of space, you become so focused on yourself and trying to kind of put yourself back together after you've been kind of disoriented like that, that your relationship to others becomes completely rendered unimportant, which is a way of thinking about the culture at large, where at what point how do we relate to others, and at what point does a tension between our notion of individualism and our position in the culture at large. How is that disrupted, renegotiated? How does that play out? And it's interesting, lots of people, when some people are actually afraid to go in it. Some people find it quite disturbing when they're in it. Other people like it, and kids especially actually really like it. It's like a lot of his work in that there's a sense of play. At times there's a sense of humor in it. But it's also raising larger questions about the individual. How are we defined as individuals, and how does that relate to the culture at large?
He has a series of art pieces called Portrait Logos, I think, is that?
That's correct, right? Yeah.
Could you explain what he's doing there?
Well, that was a relatively early body of work, and what he did was he photographed people of different sorts of backgrounds, and individuals as well as families. And the photographs were made in the kind of recognizable style that of a studio portrait, where a photographer might come to your house and shoot your family, or you might go to a studio. So the photographs are, the style of them is very recognizable. And these are combined with large logos. In most cases, they're logos Ken designed for the individual. So, for example, one of them is called Olner Family, and you see a picture of two parents and their child, and their family name is Olner. The logo is very big, so there's a kind of odd thing going on there, because families don't usually have logos, and the logo has a kind of sense of brashness that we associate with advertising. It's interesting that the family is a kind of Eurasian family, so the father's of European descent, the mother's of Asian descent, the child is a mix, of course, and so there's a sense of countering the kind of sort of some of the dominant notions of race. So there's a sense of the individual having some agency to be able to move against different notions of racism by forming this couple. At the same time, the family is designated by the male's name, by the father's name, the husband's name. So there's also a way that those images point to how the individual is still kind of involved or implicated or controlled by a sort of larger set of structures. In this case, the idea of patriarchy and the way that the father's name defines the family.
There are lots of other pieces in the exhibit, but I did want to ask you before finishing. I understand he is less well known in Vancouver than he is internationally, more highly regarded internationally, and that this is a real initiative to try and make him better known to people here. Why that?
Well, I think dynamic? Ken as a person, as a figure, as an artist, is very well known in Vancouver, and he's somebody whose name is really associated with Vancouver. There's a number of artists who've been very important in making Vancouver recognized as a really important center for contemporary art. The thing with Ken, though, is a lot of his work, a lot of the work in the exhibition, hasn't been seen here. It's partly because he's focused on a number of specific projects, some of them permanent public installations in other places around the world, Vienna, and a number of other places. Also, he's made work for some very specific exhibitions, such as the Istanbul Biennale, and those works. You know, it takes a certain amount of resources to remake them, which we were able to do. So part of the idea of the show was to clarify maybe what someone who is very well known has been doing for the last period of time. So he's been known, but not his work, not his recent work. And the idea was, in part, to make that available to people here.
Well, I'm really glad you worked on it. It's something to be highly recommended. Thank you for coming in as well.
Oh, my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Grant Arnold. He's the curator of the Kem Lum exhibit at the Vancouver Art Gallery. It's going to be on display right through till the fall, the end of September, so you have plenty of time to go and see it or see it more than once. Thanks again, Grant.
Thank you.